This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
This is Everything Elite, the world's best podcast devoted exclusively to All Elite Wrestling and the Elite Extended Universe. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, Mike Spears. What's up, Mike?
Hey, y'all. It's your old pal, Iron Mike Spears. I'm doing all right. You know, it's been a week for me. This was, by my count, the 14th wrestling show I've seen since last Thursday, and I feel a little brain dead. But I'm here. I'm here to bring it, and I was invigorated by some parts of tonight's All Elite Dynamite. So I'm stoked to be here with y'all. How are you doing, AB?
I'm doing all right. This was the first wrestling show I've watched since last Thursday. That's not true. I watched a little bit of the. I haven't finished it yet, but I started the Cinderella tournament. So, but this was the other wrestling I've watched. So I'm still invigorated for sure. We're also joined by Nate, aka Epitasis. What's up, Nate?
Yeah, I don't appreciate that. It was going to be my line, and then it wasn't even true for you.
Sorry.
You stole my line, but made it a lie, whereas, of course, it would have been true for me. I don't really watch any other wrestling. I think I just acquired too many video games, and now I feel like I'll be digging my way out of that hole for the next 15 to 20 years. So that's what's going on with me. Was it invigorating? It was not devigorating. I was vigored.
I shouldn't say this because we're doing a podcast, but I think I've given up podcasts. I think I'm out on podcasts.
Listening or doing?
No, listening. I'm still going to continue to do all the podcasts.
I was going to be really concerned for 1 second. I was going to be concerned.
If you just hung up the car right there.
That would have been sick.
Went Bud Dwyer on the podcast here.
No, I love talking to my friends about wrestling and other things. But I simply, as I think I've mentioned, I've been listening to this Rolling Stone Top 500 Albums list. And that's just all I have time for now. I just don't listen to podcasts anymore. Except the Everything Elite Patreon, of course.
Very convincing.
I do. I'll be honest. The ones that sound good that I wasn't on, I listen to.
There's a real tension between music and podcasts and what you're going to listen to.
That's true.
At any time, I find it's much easier to start a podcast, to begin listening to one. There's less choice involved for me. I can just go, oh, here's one of the five podcasts that I can stomach, and you know, it's 9 a.m. or whatever. I'm going to hit play on that, and I'm set. Whereas listening to music requires more decision-making, but I think I like music more. Listening to music makes me happier than listening to podcasts do. It's kind of, music is vegetables and podcasts are dessert.
Wait, I thought you said music makes you happier.
In the long run, but it has a higher barrier of listening.
That's the good thing about this list. I just go to the next one. I'm like, okay, I'm listening to this album next.
It's something that for me, I think that for a lot of how I consume audio content, it's either background noise or something to drone out my just neurotic brain in a lot of ways. So I sat down today and listened to Yukika's new EP, and that was like my first deliberate like music listening I've had in months. Whereas like I'll put on like one of those like binaural beats thing, like when I'm trying to like go to sleep, or like I feel like that the chilled cowification of like YouTube with like your lo-fi beats that you could study and chill to really has affected me in a lot of ways that I feel like that maybe has gone throughout, that people just want background music in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I kind of do a thing where it's like, oh, well, here's what I should be listening to, or I want to find something that's an interesting listen for music. I don't know. I don't like listening to just like comfortable, easy things. I don't know. I think this is going back to like college when people would like listen to the same fucking 90s shit that they listened to, you know, throughout middle and high school or whatever. And I would just get so annoyed with them. Just like, stop. So now I'm like, I always have to be listening to new music. I've internalized that. So that's why podcasts are easier. I just go, oh yeah, I can listen to that. Doesn't matter. Very comfortable.
All right. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you.
I listened to today. I listened to Bruce Springsteen, Nebraska. I listened to George Michael, Faith. And I listened to The Pretenders.
Now, are there any of these where you've really had like a reaction to it where you're like, this does not deserve to be on this top 500 albums list?
I fucking hate Radiohead. I'm just going to say it.
Oh, wow.
I think they're awful. And Kid A was one of the worst pieces of shit I've ever listened to in my life.
Huh, bold, okay. But I respect that. I respect that.
People are going to hate that. But
I think I thought better of you than that. I think
I hate Radiohead. It's just like, this is a Mike Spears-ism, but it's the most like smell your own farts music of all time.
Yeah,
I would kind of expect that take. Maybe this is unfair to Aaron Taub.
Well, it's not ska, so I mean,
there was some. I buried Taub one time in the DM because he was talking about like Zelda games, and I was like, I don't know if you like Breath of the Wild there, and it's a little too melancholic and reflective for you, and you tend to be kind of an instant gratification guy. That's kind of where I'm putting your Radiohead take here.
Yeah, I hate Radiohead. So as I'm listening to this list, I've now really tried.
Has the one you've listened to been Kid A? Is that the one that's been on the list so far?
No, there was another one too. Hold on, let me pull up my spreadsheet I'm keeping of the lists. Of all the albums on the list,
we have really like lost the plot here at this point, haven't we?
That's okay.
It's fine.
Fuck. What's the other Radiohead album that I listened to?
Okay, there's Computer. Actually,
Okay, Computer's got to be higher, so we can't beat that. Yet.
Yeah. Maybe Kid A I liked, and Okay Computer I didn't like. Can't remember now.
Well, that's you have those backwards if that's the case.
Whichever one was on the list first, I thought was like, okay, this is like nice background music.
Karma Police is on Okay Computer. That was a hit single.
Hail to the Thief, the Bends, King of Limbs. King of Limbs might have been too late.
King
for
of Limbs
list.
I did not like. Would not make the list for me.
Yeah. Pablo Honey would have been higher.
Pablo Honey also did not like.
Yeah.
That's before they got... See, that's the thing. If you listen to Pablo Honey, that's before they got all Smell Your Farts, and it's much worse. When they started smelling their farts, they got a lot better.
Okay, Kid A was the first one, and that I thought was listenable. I enjoyed it. Okay, I was like, okay, this is like good background music. Okay Computer was the one that was a huge piece of shit that I hated.
Okay Computer.
Despised.
Definite masterpiece.
I hated it.
It's not Kid A is much more pretentious, so I don't understand that.
I don't know. I thought it was okay.
Okay Computer has radio singles on it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm just, what can I tell you? I just hated it. But my point is I've tried to. Yeah,
you can't explain why. So I guess that's what you can tell me.
No, that's music. I mean, but I've tried to on this list, like put aside the things I go into it with and just like, all right, just let me like listen to this. But I've always hated Radiohead without ever having listened to them. Not once in my life. Except when, you know, one of my idiot friends is like, oh, you'll fucking love this Radiohead song. You got to listen to it. And I'm like, no, this sucks. Yeah, actually.
That's nice. They had nice opinions of you and then you squandered them and spit in their faces.
Yeah. So it was very rewarding to me to listen to them and not like them. That really felt good. I really enjoyed that. But you know, I don't think anything else has just been like outright. I mean, some stuff I felt like didn't belong. Like, okay, the Missy Elliott album that's on this list. Now I'm having to look for it here. Super Dupa Fly.
Okay.
Which is 93. And I'm like, okay, there's some good songs on this, but there's no way this is one of the best 100 albums of all time. This is insane. Absolutely insane. You know, but
that's kind of a stuff I don't like. That seems like another of its time, it probably hit much harder.
Okay, and this then, is a big thing I've had with a big argument I've had with people about this list, which is I'll say, for example, I don't like the Beastie Boys. I've never liked the Beastie Boys. And Paul's Boutique comes up, and the main place I've discussed this is in the VOW Slack. There's a bunch of music people in there. And I was like, I think this album is just not good. It's just a bad album. The production is very good, but I think the Beastie Boys as rappers are just like miserable. So anyway, the response whenever I bash something is like, well, it was very influential. I'm like, well, I don't give a fuck about that. The question is, when I listen to it in 2021, do I enjoy listening to it or not? And I didn't enjoy listening to it. That's it.
Right. And that's not the approach that people that made the list are taking to it.
No, of course not.
Yeah, because it's not even a matter of influence necessarily. It's just that they're remembering how important the album was when it came out, and that's what they're bringing to their ongoing memories of it, I think. And that's true of a lot of things.
The YouTube chat is popping, so I think we haven't lost the plot, actually. I think
this is the new plot. if this is the plot you enjoy, you may want to check out the Patreon.
Absolutely. Great. Great plug there for the Patreon. We're going to have a music episode on the Patreon next week. I'll talk about it later. If you want to hear more about that, make sure you're following us on Twitter at everything AEW. I'm at Aaron Like the Car.
So now Danny says, what about Soundgarden? Soundgarden is not in the same league as Radiohead to me. Those are two different.
Soundgarden is much better than
Soundgarden is in the genre of, oh my God, it's we're in college now. Stop listening to the shit you listened to in middle school. That's what Soundgarden is to me. That's they're in there with fucking Tonic.
Tonic. Okay, first of all, Tonic rules.
Hey.
Second of all, that's unfair to Soundgarden.
No, that's fair. That's where Soundgarden lies. They're like the slightly more respectable cousin of fucking Beck. What's his band? Is that not Beck? Gavin Rossdale. Bush.
Yeah, Bush.
Beck is better than all those acts.
If anyone's wondering why I don't really have any big takes on this, one of my favorite albums of all time is Death Is My Communion by High on Fire. Like, this list and what I'm... And then also...
Do you know what that is, Aaron?
I've, like, vaguely heard of that, but okay. It doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, like, my music tastes either go from just, like, bizarre techno or ambient to sludge metal... Or Southern hip hop, like it has Outkast been on this list at all, or anything from Dungeon Family?
Yes, Aquemini and Stankonia have been on the list already.
All right, the top 100 as they should be.
Oh yeah, Aquemini is up there high.
I mean, the South has something to say. So
I'm only on 153. So everything I've talked about so far is at least in the top 150.
Fair.
It's as you get, I think, to the. The real good shit is probably going to be right around 100. And then as you get real close to number one, it's going to be like, okay, yeah, Sgt. Pepper's was really influential.
Oh, no, I started with number one, Nate.
It's like, oh, you went backwards.
My friend Nathan.
That's the most tilting thing about this. That is the most tilting thing, is that you started at one and are counting up versus counting down.
A list starts with one, man. That's not my problem.
That's not how countdown lists work. You see, I was not attached to anything about this until your process.
You're setting yourself up to be fucking... Okay, so when you said it came first on the list, you meant OK Computer was higher than Kid A.
Yeah.
I corrected myself. Kid A was first. Kid A was number 20. Computer was 42.
I did not know that you were going from 1 to 500, not 500 to 1.
To 500, baby.
Yeah, you are completely out to lunch on this. Let's move on.
Okay, anyone who knows me knows that I start things and quit on them. So I thought I should at least... The point of this was the only, like, outside of the 80s music I've ever listened to is classic country. So I was trying to expand my musical literacy and like the classics. So I was like, well, if I start from the beginning and I quit at some point, I will have gotten the most important classics.
Well, I'll let us move on, but I'll give you one more recommendation. If you want to enjoy, and I know you don't want to because you want to be proven, you want to prove your past self right. But if you want to enjoy OK Computer, go back to when you were 15 and listen to it then while you're playing Star Ocean 2, and then you're all set.
When I was 15, I only liked, actually, I don't know. That's somewhere in my transition from, ICP to nu metal to, hardcore. So it's hard to say where I was at that time, but I don't know. Just never was into Radiohead. So yeah, our Twitter accounts, I think I was saying. I'm at Aaron Like the Card, Nate's at Epitasis, Mike's at Fuji Heya. Subscribe to the podcast. Give us a 5-star rating and review if you use the Apple Podcasts app. And make sure you check out the Patreon. The best way to support the show is at patreon.com/everythingelite. We will kick off the show, I guess, 20 minutes in with Elite or Delete. Nate, get us started, bud. What was your favorite thing from tonight's show?
Favorite thing, tonight's show, easy pick, Young Bucks, Pac, Phoenix, opening match, tag titles, right? Yes, tag title defense. Just a really, really good pro wrestling match. Great heel finish. You can make an attempt to like discuss the things that occurred in this match, but it just futile because, you know, you can't write down the sort of spots that happen in this match as fast as the people in the match actually do them. Got the Bucks out there in their new heel gear. Do want to discuss the gear some, because they made a big to-do about, you know, now we're genuinely turning heel. We're going back to the old Bucks. We're getting rid of our tassels because they're too colorful and happy or whatever. They didn't come out with any less flashy gear. Their gear was still very flashy, maybe more flashy. So that was kind of a misdirect, I think. But, yeah, you know, Phoenix is the best wrestler in the world. As Excalibur said, Pac is, like, you know, near the second best wrestler in the world, hot on his tail. And the Young Bucks, you know, I kind of got into this spot last week after the fucking flat angle and the, you know, why am I so violent stuff and the melodrama and the, you know, all of this following a match that, you know, sort of hit the same notes that a lot of Young Bucks matches had hit, consecutively. And you're just like, oh, thank God these guys, are so stubborn and spiteful that they're just like, fuck you. You guys didn't like that. You guys didn't think we're the best. We're just going to go out and have, you know, a tremendous, excellent tag team wrestling match and be like, eat shit. You didn't like the angle. So what? You have to keep watching us because we're this damn entertaining. And they did it. And it was awesome. I've always loved that spot where they rip a mask off a luchador to sort of get a heel finish and get a clean win while still protecting the guy. I think that's very smart. You can't do it very often. Might be kind of a problem in this promotion that we might see them do it 5 more times in the next year now. But yeah, it was great. Great opener. The highlight of the show. Enjoyed it even more than I expected
to. Yeah, this was for like all the to do about, and it's kind of died down about FTR being like a Southern tag team. This was a Southern tag team match that was updated to 2021, and it ruled. Like, you have Phoenix, you know, most outstanding wrestler in the world in 2021. You have Pac, who I think is one of the best wrestlers in the last decade, not named Okada or Tanahashi. And then you have the best tag team of the last 40 years. And you put these four guys together, they're going to have an amazing match. And that's what we got here. And interesting note, by the way, I was talking to Case Lowe while this match was happening, just because I noticed something that me being a complete sicko would notice. I don't expect anyone else would. This was Pac's first like true face match since March of 2016. Like, he's been working heel for like that, and they just subtly like moved him across the tunnel, you know, moved him to the other tunnel. But this rocked, and it was something that I thought was really special. And, you know, they pulled out a heel finish in a way that was completely deserved. And you're like, all right, considering what else happened on this show, this actually felt distinctive, because it was like, all right, by their machinations, they got the win here. And it's not just because of a giant schmoz, that it is something that I thought was absolutely remarkable. And it's hard for me to have a bad time in wrestling, but it's more difficult for me to have an excellent time in wrestling. Like, I'm operating usually just in life between a 4 and a 6, but this was just excellent. And I thought I had an excellent time watching this match.
Got a scoop for you. Our real Patreon heads know that we brought the man, the myth, TJ Hawk out of retirement to do a review, a written review of the Christian Cage versus Kaz match. I've got the star rating from TJ Hawk.
He tweeted a tease. I was like, it wasn't good, and if you pay me, I'll tell you why it wasn't. Yeah. Right? Something to that effect.
2.5 stars from our man TJ Hawk, which you wouldn't expect anything less from Tej.
Yeah, that's about a quintessential TJ Hawk rating. I don't know if Phoenix has had a match under 3.5 stars in 5 years.
No, probably never. Okay, but as to your normal point, Nate, what everything you just said is why this should have been the main event of the show. They should have closed the show with this. It would have been much better than the way they closed the show.
That's, I don't think that's wrong. I don't think it's wrong to close with a title match either. I think both are kind of fine. Oh yeah, I guess they were both title matches, huh?
They were.
You know, maybe the theory is, I know the Bucks like to be in this spot. They either want to be closing or opening. They don't want to be in the middle of the show, I think has been said on The Observer or something. I think for a match of this length, it's probably easier to hold people's attention and get the reactions you want when you do it first and they haven't seen 4 other matches. I think that's probably their thinking about it is, if we do a 30-minute match after people have watched 6 other matches, they're not going to be as hyped for it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's going to be interesting, and there wasn't a lot of it this week to track other than that the first 2 things they showed were not wrestling. But it'd be interesting to see if the show changes now that this is the first week they're not head-to-head against NXT. So do they stretch a little and do some different things if they're not as worried about keeping all the viewers from changing the channel to NXT. So we'll see. Mike, your elite pick from this week, bud.
It's time that we have a new force in All Elite Wrestling. It is time for the motherfucking governor, because Anthony Ogogo, just the way they've presented him across this week and including his one strike match this week, I just absolutely adored everything about it. I think that Anthony Ogogo is someone that, unlike a lot of people they bring in, this is someone who has legit, especially in the UK, star power. And he's someone that I think has a lot of potential in the company. And if you watch The Road 2, there was an excellent character piece on him that was very similar to the kind of stuff you would see in the Olympics and the build up for people in the Olympics. And, you know, he came out, he punched the guy in the liver, aka Boss Rutten style, just like popped him in the liver and he went down, and it was absolutely awesome, and it was exactly what you should do with someone like him. And I was kind of in a lot of ways, I was like, I just hope he came in and just pops him in the stomach and we get out of here. And that's what we got, and it rocked. So Anthony Ogogo's debut is my elite of the week.
Yeah, I love establishing a guy with some squashes like this. Just effective, simple. And if they can do it in a really visceral and violent and cool way, then it's a really easy way to get the dude over. And it's been such a long time since we had a boxer with he's got lethal, deadly weapons for hands, and oh, he can really fuck you up and rupture a liver or spleen with those hands. Like, been such a long time since I've seen that it's very fun and fresh to me. I wanted to see the guy cough up blood. I think that also would have, I mean, you know, this is like a half criticism, that also would have made the ref calling off the match a little less, you know, obviously plotted. Would have been like, oh God, he's fucking got internal injuries, we got to stop the match now. Whereas here it was just like the ref saw the super swift, vicious punch and was like, oh, that punch, he definitely won the match off that, and then called it immediately. Or as was suggested by another Twitter power user, have the guy shit his pants. That also, I don't know if TNT would have liked that as much, but it, you know, people would have remembered it for sure.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, and I'm just going to bleed this into my elite for the week, which was just highlighting some different people. We got some new people that were fresh, that felt fresh on the show. Yeah, you're doing the Jericho thing. Yeah, Matt Hardy was at the end of the show, but we got cool stuff with Anthony Ogogo. Thank you, Tony Khan, for bringing back Inokiism. Really appreciate that. We also got Chris Statt, you know, making her return, the Jade Cargill and Red Velvet match. So there was, now all those matches were very quick, but they were, well, not the Jade and Red Cargill. Jade and Red Velvet got some time. But we got some fresh faces here to kind of sink your teeth into instead of the same old shit week after week. So that was nice for me personally.
Yeah. I don't disagree. That is, it's weird to have enjoyed that after last week, where a lot of our complaint was there's, you know, there's no focus. There's just too much happening with no peaks, and there's too many people on the show and shit. I don't really have a thing I can identify for why this week just landed better than last week, but I think it did.
Focus. Nope. It was more focused on, like, yeah, there were all these people, but it was focused on, like, okay, this is Anthony Ogogo's thing. This is Red Velvet and Jay Cargill. This is Chris Sattler. Yeah. So it had all the people there, but even though it was, like, short, it was impactful. Sorry to jump in there, Nate.
No, totally. You're right. I think that is, honestly, just doing squashes just, like, makes it better. You're just like, oh, I know who I should be looking at in this match. It's the person squashing the other person. Nobody had any takes on the Young Bucks gear. Do we have any takes on QT Marshall's wardrobe?
Fantastic divorce dad energy. Like, I know it's a Tony Soprano shirt that's actually, like, marketed as a Tony Soprano shirt, but he really should just, like, lean into it. I mean, Taz kind of cleaned up. Like, you think Taz would be the person with the real divorce dad energy coming in here, but I think QT Marshall should just really be like, I got divorced, and now I'm just building my gang of thugs. I'm mad at my old best friend, and just go with that.
I hate it, personally. I want him, I mean, breaking apart, here's the thing. We all know that Cody sucks, right? QT, if he's gonna feud with Cody, he's got to actually be cool. And I think he's, like, built up this, like, cool group around him. He can't be a divorced dad. We just saw his hot wife two weeks ago.
Yeah.
He needs to be cooler. He's got hair plugs now.
He's had those for a little bit. It is. There's a weird. I mean, Ogogo, great. Mr. Freak Beast, great. Aaron Solo, you know, good hand in the unit there. I like those two as the focus of this unit and building them, those guys up. And I think QT is, like, a good heel to be sort of the mastermind behind him. I don't really have a great idea for what his aesthetic or what his gimmick should be for making that happen. But I want to think about it, because there is, it's a weird thing where QT is kind of cooler than Cody. And I'm not really.
It's because QT actually feels like an actual human being and not like someone who just copes through wrestling.
He does. Yeah. Divorce Brett Payne is pretty fucking cool for like a divorced dad. Is another thing I was thinking while you guys were saying that.
Maybe
it's just cool to be divorced, actually.
Yeah, to be clear, having divorced dad energy does not mean that you are divorced and there's a lot of very cool divorced dad. It's a very specific thing that like you embody.
You over it.
Now Brett's I don't think Brett is fully divorced yet, so maybe he will get less cool suddenly, like when the papers are signed.
Hmm.
Have you thought about that?
I haven't. Now, was it when they come to an agreement, or is it when it comes to when the judge enters the agreement into the record? When does the drop off happen?
When the dissolution of the marriage is signed and entered into the record by the by the court? Yes.
Good to know. Yeah, I mean, he's got a cool logo, I think, tracksuits, but maybe that's too close to what Cody was doing with his tracksuit, so you want to stay away from that. I do. Ogogo's got a great, like, legitimate athlete kind of look going on, and I don't really think that goes with Mr. Freak Beast's weird, you know, the straight jacket kind of thing happening. I'd like to get on the same page with their look, and I'm not sure what it is yet.
All right, listener elite, I'm just staying on brand here with always choosing. If you're a new patron, I will always choose your elite or delete for the show. Listener elite, Alex Ron Johnston says, Darby standing tall to end the show. I agree with that. It was like a nice, fresh finish for the show.
Yeah, I was a little bit wary about that as the main event as it got started, because I'm like, oh, I don't know. You know, I'm sure they're going to have a good brawl here or whatever, but they delivered with the giant spot at the end. That was like a deserving huge moment for the end of the show. So that brought it up to elite for me.
You know what else is elite? Betting over at mybookie.ag. You can use the promo code elite and get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. We've got NBA going on. I know our friend Patrick Cosmos was doing a big parlay over at MyBookie tonight. Unfortunately, he was getting in on the Heat, you know, banking on the Nuggets being bad because Jamal Murray, of course, tore his ACL, which is very sad for me. But plenty of NBA bets. Baseball's heating up. I think hockey exists, so you can bet on that. I'm going to be betting. I already said last week, I'm betting on the Formula One race this weekend. I've got Max Verstappen at plus 120. I just feel like at Imola, Max, it looks like the Red Bull's the fastest car. I think Max is going to be on pole.
Right.
And I just think it's going to be much harder to pass on track, which they didn't pass him on track last race. So I guess, you know, that's the flaw in my plan. But I just think it's going to be harder to pass him in Imola.
Yeah, and his car was running well at Imola last year. Like, the Hondas run well on these tracks. So I think that's a completely fair bet. But that's not the biggest event that is happening this weekend, guys. The biggest event is happening is the 10-cent LPL finals, that where we will decide who is the top team in League of Legends for the Chinese region. I'm going to give you the two names, and I want your picks going into this very hotly competing thing. Like, we have world champions in this matchup. So, Nate, are you ready to hear these two teams and give your opinion?
So ready.
All right. So, the people in the finals are Royal Never Give Up or Fun Plus Phoenix.
Okay, don't know either of those. I thought maybe there'd be a brand that also participates in other electronic sports.
Not allowed in League of Legends. You can't really
not
have
allowed in League of Legends.
A Damwon Kia is the only team because it's actually technically owned by Kia. Like, SKT had to be like sold off. Now they're referred to as T1 because League does not like having your sponsor names there.
I'm gonna go with Fun Plus Phoenix.
So you're going with the 2019 world champion, Fun Plus Phoenix. Aaron?
Yeah, I really think the meta has come back to a place where the 2019 game is going to be relevant again.
Interesting. Aaron, what's your take? Are you going to go RNG or are you going to go Fun Plus Phoenix?
I got to go RNG. I just got to take the opposite side, of course, so we can have some fun here. And, you know, maybe I'll throw a few bucks on it just to really spice this thing up.
I'll say RNG is a +162 going into this matchup. Aaron, if you're up at 5 a.m. on the 18th, you can check this out here.
I will be.
Also, another spicy thing, we have a map handicap here. They are favoring Fun Plus Phoenix by -1.5 map. So they think that that Fun Plus will beat them before it goes to 5, basically.
All right. The other thing I want to get in on is I understand on UFC there's going to be a fight about whether communism is good, and I would just like to take the side of communism.
Oh, we need to talk about this. We need to talk about this.
I would be betting on Wei Li Zhang.
Yeah, I used to be a big Thug Rose guy, but I'm going hard standing for China recently. So I've got to bet against Thug Rose here. Hurts my heart to see her turn against the noble red. But here, this is where we're at with our Reddit ass society.
Yes. So I'll be doing that over at my bookie. Looks like you can get Wei Li Zhang at -190. So, you know, it's steep odds, but you know, you got to do what you got to do. So head over to my bookie.
Stipe Miocha. Oh,
nice. Thank you. Use the promo code ELITE to get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. That's mybookie.ag. All right.
This is an open call while we're talking about MOBAs. If anybody's watched the Dota anime on Netflix, to let me know how it is, because I'm not going to watch it myself, but I do want to know if it's at all decent. It looks too like old school Western styled animation for me, but I have some vestigial brand fondness for Dota.
All right. Go off in the comments or just at Nate at Epitasis.
Can we get some Dota takes in the chat?
I mean, the DPC is running right now. I mean, it is the road because there was not international last year, Nate. So it's a road.
Go to an international.
I think this year they're going to be in Stockholm, but they'll be back in Seattle, I think, after the whole climate pledge arena is complete.
Oh, I should go to the Dota at the climate pledge arena. It'd be so fun.
I only go to Friends Arena. Okay, delete. No, I'm not.
Delete that inside joke.
No, I'm not deleting. That's a real arena, right? Friends Arena?
We took it from somewhere, right?
I think it's real. Anyway, Nate, other than me, do not fucking say me. What would you like to delete it from this episode of Dynamite? I was not on it.
I'd like to delete the ultimate takeaway of this segment was, I think, not a negative, it was a positive, but Christian Cage and Team Taz have this story where Team Taz invited him to join. And this is mostly a continuation of my frustration with just doing unit dissolution and whose side is he on angles up and down the card. They did this whole backstage segment where Taz is like doing an interview and uses this opportunity to be like, "Hey, Ricky, you know, you're losing your mind lately. You're not in sync with the team. You stay backstage." And then says the same thing to Brian Cage. And then Taz comes out and comes out to confront Christian Cage about joining the unit and just immediately blows his top at him. And is like yelling at him and berating him. And he's like, "What the fuck, man? How come you're not giving me an answer?" It's like, I thought the whole point of having these guys stay backstage is that you're not going to lose your head and you're going to be fucking cool and get him to join. But he just comes out and I guess lets the Red Hook part of Brooklyn take control of his mouth. And it was just silly to me. And I'm not into the Team Taz angle at this moment in time. But the ultimate takeaway with building up to a Christian Cage and Powerhouse Hobbs match, I think is good. I think that's exactly what I want to see Christian Cage doing at this point in time, is working with the young guys. It's not going to hurt Will Hobbs if he has to lose to Christian Cage at this point in time, I don't think. But it is going to be like a good way to give Powerhouse Hobbs that next step up to relevancy.
Yeah, this was a angle that kind of started off in a really weird place, but as soon as the physicality started happening, as soon as the mics went down, it really turned around. And I think that this readjustment for Christian Cage, who again was his first angle was with the AEW World Champion, it does give him like a little bit more of a build, I would say, if that's going to be an ultimate route that they have with him. But you know, Team Taz, when it's like at its best, is one of the best acts in the company. It is. You have three dynamic wrestlers. You have Hook, who's, I mean, that kid is going to take over the world when he starts wrestling. And you have Taz, who has become one of the permanent managers in wrestling. But it feels like that just like muddling down Team Taz over the last 3 weeks, really, for what reason? Just to kind of like have it, like there's like no like true motivations here. Like, do we know why there's all this stuff between Cage and Ricky? Is this all dating back to how the match ended up with the street fight ended?
It was because Cage said that he respected Sting after lost in the street fight.
Yeah, it's that muddle that I don't remember that segment. So it's just like the direction of Team Taz is like I'm for like this idea for Christian Cage because it makes sense for him, but Team Taz is kind of like I don't like how they've handled them since Revolution.
I did like Taz bringing his world famous line about standing on his wallet to television. Did pop for that because we've been tracking that line in the DM because he uses it on Twitter every 3 weeks approximately. That did amuse me.
Other money too, Nate. Other money.
He's got his other money. Didn't have anything to point to.
No, I mean, I don't know how much they like plan this out or whatever, but it like is kind of funny if Christian just out of nowhere pulled bingo money. Like, that's kind of funny.
Well,
yes. Yes, Nate.
Bingo hall money, for one, right, is the correction. I was trying to, Taz's commentary run in WWE, was that longer than his ECW run?
He was in ECW dating back to 94. So, I mean, he has either, I'm trying to remember, he came to WWE, what, 2000? So he had 6 years in.
Yeah, I was going
to
say 2000, 2001.
Yeah. So comparable.
Yeah, he's on SmackDown for at least 4 years, right? Not making chump change there.
All right. Nate? No, not Nate. You've already gone. Mike.
That's right.
What's your dilly pick, bud?
Billy Darren.
The wheels came off on the show right as Aaron completely. Yeah, this like congratulations. So this 120 is gonna go down in the record books in a good way. it's something that like I'll just completely just like cut to the chase here with this. The whole Hardy versus Darby main event, the last like 3 minutes of it were really solid, but up until that point, one of the more plodding Darby Allin matches I can remember. And I mean, in the Discord, Aaron, you brought the point that it's like, this is like mishandling Darby in a way, not understanding who Darby is. And you have like the huge schmoz where no one really looked good other than Darby doing sick bumps. And the rest of, and luckily, I mean, like, as our patron Alex Ron Johnston said, like, Darby stood tall at the end of the show, and it stood tall after doing a really nice final spot in the match. But getting to that point was pretty rough, in my opinion. And just, and it was something that, like, I did not expect to, like, be, like, taken aback by, like, all right, we are literally throwing everyone out there for this, and Sting is going to be out there, and Sting does not look good at this moment, and did not look good tonight, and just did not come off what the way that I feel like they intended with this main event.
Yeah, I think that's kind of just the end result of booking another Matt Hardy, you know, walk and brawl hardcore main event match. You know, they seem to just have a fondness for pushing this guy as a featured singles. They've been doing it since he got there. They don't seem to intend to stop. I guess we should be thankful that Darby won, because he beat Sammy Guevara when he shouldn't have. So at least Darby beat him here. But yeah, you know, we're not going to get Darby Allin versus JD Drake, or Darby Allin versus Sammy Guevara, or even Darby Allin versus Brian Cage when his opponent is Matt Hardy. So they just, I think, had to work to Matt Hardy's limitations. And yeah, we're just not going to be super high on that, I think. But, you know, yeah, really, honestly, I just kind of like, okay, yeah, whatever. What's the finish going to be? And they delivered on the finish, so I was happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, you guys covered it. I don't have any interest in it, but the fact that they went back to, we haven't seen much of this, like, vintage Darby of just, like, it used to be when you were in fucking Joppa. You know, the first night you went to Joppa and they zoomed in on the first match, you'd look around that shitty building and try to find the tallest thing and be like, okay, Darby, I will see Darby Allin jump off of this tonight. Now, Joppa actually is not a good example, because it had the famously very low ceiling with the chandelier in the middle, but everybody knows what I mean. So
did Darby do his, like, pillar climb on something recently? Oh, he did it in the pre-tape match, I think, right?
Oh, probably. Sure that's true.
Yeah, I think so.
But, you know, it all goes back, like, his very first appearance in Evolve was, like, climbing up a pole.
Yeah, yeah. Know,
and jumping off of it. I think it gets Ethan Page, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, didn't he first appear as, like, a random seminar guy in, like, a four-way? Is that right?
Yeah.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. But with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club slab pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You can display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading, so you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived. And really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Yeah, that sounds right. He definitely was a seminar guy.
He definitely had to drop a fall against, I'm blanking on his name, Jason Kincaid.
I definitely remember him, like, crumpled up, like, at the neck in, like, against, like, the security rail outside the ring. That's what I mostly remember from his first appearance was, like, oh, wow, this guy took a fucking wild bump.
Okay, I was right. And his very first match in Evolve was against Ethan Page in Eddie D's Ranch. Yep.
Huh.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was WrestleMania weekend, and he promptly found the tallest thing in Eddie D's Ranch, and it was like some various facade of Western affiliation and did it there.
That place was so cool. Somebody's running there soon.
SWE with Lacey on air.
Yes. The preeminent indie of the South, of the North Central Texas area.
Of 2021, you mean?
Violence and Suffering is working on a different frequency than everyone else. So, okay. But it's neck and neck. SWE and VXS.
It got a little too popular, but I just love Lacey Von Erich. I just can't. I can't turn it off. She's very funny. I enjoy her. What was I talking about? Now all I can think about is her saying Cleveland Steamer to Ricky Steamboat.
ROH should bring her in and have her join the Allure.
Absolutely, they should. All right, I guess I'll just do my delete. Is that okay with everybody? Is that where we are?
I can take it or leave it.
All right. Well, it was nice. You know, we talked about all the people last week. We talked about where's anything going. So this week was a little better. Definitely like was more fun. There were segments I enjoyed more. We saw some new people, but it still feels like too much shit happening. Like there's still like, okay, can we like let this show breathe a little bit? But more than that, it just, other than the Christian Cage and Powerhouse Hobbs thing, still feels pretty directionless. Like I still don't really have a sense of what the big matches are going to be for the next pay-per-view. So that's kind of a bummer to me. So I hope that, you know, I mentioned this, that they're no longer in the, you know, the Wednesday night matchup against NXT. Hopefully that will lead them to letting things breathe more and like letting their shit shine the way they did when this show first started.
Yeah, that's, I think, still the larger issues are still there, but this was not an episode that brought them to the forefront of your mind. This just kind of entertained you and carried you along from one thing to the next. Yeah, I guess when you don't have focus and when you have an ending that falls flat, you know, it kind of makes the other things bubbling behind the scenes go, well, here's the problem with this and this and this and this, and you can, you know, just crystallizes them more for you. So this show avoided that.
And it's something where I feel like they are kind of clearing the deck in a lot of ways, because like this tag team title match, I mean, this has been in the paper. This has been on the books for several weeks now. Like this had to happen before whatever build they're going to be doing with the Young Bucks. The Darby versus Matt Hardy thing, I mean, they insisted on doing it. And then, I mean, we have really the most direction we have is that eventually Britt Baker, we can assume, will be getting an AEW World's Women's title shot. Like they have been very pointed at that, but it does seem that like when you like look at stuff, of course Cody's off TV right now, which makes sense, but like Thunder Rosa having a promo here, like it just like it was kind of like reminding people that Thunder Rosa is here. And I'm not gonna complain about the promo, I thought she gave a good promo, but just like it's something that feels like ancillary in a lot of ways.
I have a complaint. Why did she not shout out that she's a TJPW International Princess Champion? She shouted out her other belts.
She never lost. And they brought in Konosuke Takeshita.
Brought in Maki Ito, had like 2 weeks ago. It's like very, very
bring
close relationship
in Kamiyu.
We need this. I'm hearing more
bring
and more
in,
each
bring
day.
Bring in the new SKE 48 idol managed by Hollywood Jarino. That's who we need.
Listener delete comes from our friend Thoros, which we talked about a little, but Thoros agrees. Two long clusterfucks are just one too many. And not just that, but you had those two clusterfucks, but then you had also this kind of like longish beatdown of Hobbs on Cage, which was a good segment on its own. But when you tie all three of those together, it's just like a little samey on the show.
Yeah, recurring issue of sameness. It did give me kind of WCW vibes, and I was just like, you know, WCW did have a lot of big NWO versus, you know, Raven's Flock brawls up and down the show, so maybe I should just like this.
But you know what doesn't have to be the same? Your balls, folks. If you use Manscaped, use the code THISIS, you get 20% off, you get free shipping, and you can shave your balls with the new Lawnmower 3.0.
I'd like to make an edit. Can we say your danglies? Because that's the new that's the new Luke Gallows catchphrase, apparently.
Yes, you're right. You can shave your danglies if you have Manscaped. They sent us the Perfect Package 3.0, so we can confirm that they will not only shave your danglies, they'll make your danglies feel good. Everything that's in the Perfect Package smell good. That will make you feel good.
It'll make you feel good. I mean, come on. let's be honest here. After like whatever kind of body grooming you're doing, if you pull off a good job, you know, you look down and you admire it, and you can definitely admire it when you use the Perfect Package 3.0 with the Lawnmower 3.0. I mean, there's no errors happening with Manscaped.
That's right. That's the key, is you're going to feel good because you're not going to cut yourself. That's nice. You got the little light gimmick you could use, and the advanced skin safe technology. So you're going to feel good. You're going to use the crop preserver. You're going to smell good. You're not going to chafe. Everything's good. So head over to manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code THISIS. Your balls will thank you.
Thanks. All right.
Your danglies will thank you. I don't know. Manscaped might be mad if we change their famous catchphrase.
That right from the copy? Okay.
Yes, your balls will thank you is the Manscaped slogan. So I've got a t-shirt that says it, I think. Okay. The show started off, this is what I was saying earlier, you know, they always like to start with action, but instead we had a Bucks pre-tape. You know, why did we do that last week? They said it was simple. They chose friendship because Don Callis was right. We've changed because we let other people set the narrative. So it's time to bring back the old Young Bucks or show people a newer, better version. So we see them literally cutting the tassels off their old gear.
Yeah, on the point of focus, they had this pre-tape, then they had the match, then the Young Bucks came back at the end of the show for another promo, and that also just, like, makes you go, okay, these are the main characters of this show, and gives you some direction. So that's, I think, helps keep, you know, what's in focus at the forefront of your mind. You know, like when Stone Cold was hot, he was on the show four times a week.
Yeah, I've bitched about this 100 times, but it's this ongoing problem of, like, presumably there are a lot of people watching this show who don't know about the old Young Bucks.
Yeah.
Like, they don't realize what your characters used to be. You can't always assume that.
Yeah. And actually, Aaron, you bring that up, and that's something that I've kind of been battling with when, like, evaluating AEW as of late, is taking this, like, core group and taking, like, this core group of fans and expanding it out. Like, how many other than, like, people who are, like, true to death, like, Young Bucks fans, like, your average viewer, and knowing what their viewership is and knowing what, like, the subscriber base was for Being the Elite is, I mean, you're probably talking about only 1 in 4 people in this who watch this show know about, like, their background, know about Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, if it's even like, oh yeah, that's a place that the Young Bucks used to work. So
I mean call up your buddy Excalibur, who's at ringside. Get some PWG footage.
Right.
You've got this, you know, some sort of relationship with New Japan. Get some New Japan footage and tell us the story of what the Bucks used to be like.
Yeah,
Nate's thinking. Well, Nate's considering.
That's hard to do with just footage, right? I guess, like, you get some heel beatdowns or whatever and have them in there being obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they probably don't want to go back to, like, doing the suck it. So you don't want to bring up a bunch of the suck it footage.
I mean, you're not in a full crowd, so you can't do the after the big turn selling the t-shirts in the ring like Mount Rushmore.
Oh, that would be tremendous. I mean, they should have done that last week.
You could do some Mount Rushmore footage, though, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if footage is it's hard to convey a whole, like, style and spirit in just footage, maybe. I mean, it would be cool just to have, like, a tightly edited music video. They kind of attempt to do it on BTE. They, you know, this week they had footage of old BTEs with Kenny and the Bucks all together and their moments in Japan and stuff, explaining why they chose friendship over, you know, doing the right thing. But, you know, I think doing, like, the ceremonial cutting of the tassels and stuff, that is like they're making a visual signal to the audience, like, hey, here's what's different about us now. We're not doing flashy, colorful stuff anymore. We're instead going to be like exciting bad guys. I don't know. It's not clear, but I do kind of appreciate that they made an effort at it.
Yeah, I mean, that almost is, like, tailored to your new fans, because, you know, as someone who has followed the Young Bucks for some time, it's like, well, the tassels were part of your, like, dickish, like, heel gimmick.
Right, they were a heel thing initially, right? Yeah.
So I don't really understand cutting those off. But yes, from the perspective you're saying, Nate, it does make sense to, like, a fresher Young Bucks viewer. So.
Yeah, just, you know, new gear, haircut, whatever is important to show, like, a change in character in wrestling. So that was good. I do... That is kind of a thing that they talk about other history in New Japan so much, and it's like, well, you are... How do you tell people what that history is if they're coming to AEW late? It's hard to do that in a concise way that would be appropriate for television.
Definitely hard, but that's why they get paid the big bucks, baby. Telling stories. Mike Tyson was backstage. He's excited for the match tonight, but MJF interrupts him, makes some jokes about his run being a long time ago, and basically tries to convince him to, you know, to cheat on the Pinnacle's behalf. He offers Tyson a blank check. Mike Tyson, in classic Mike fashion, rips it up and eats it. And that was the end of the segment.
I kind of liked MJF's character here, and that is, like, he's trying to get on Mike Tyson's good side. He's literally trying to buy this guy off, and he still just cannot resist the opportunity to insult his face tattoo, just like a good MJF character. Be like, no, he's incapable of not insulting this guy.
Then we went right into the tag title match with the Young Bucks defeating Pac and Fénix. I think Mike already described the finish, or Nate described the finish, rather. So we're good on that. Then we got Hangman and the Dark Order with Alex Marvez. He asked Hangman about, you know, what's going on with Kenny, with the Good Brothers and the Bucks. And Hangman chooses not to answer that question. And he gives an update on Silver's shoulder and leaves. And then we see John Silver do a shoulder raise to great reaction.
Great segment. Like, this is something that I know that there's certain people have go away heat with Dark Order, but like, this was it for the Dark Order on the show. And, you know, John Silver just basically like eats all the scenery in the room here. And I'm excited to see what workout plans they have for John Silver. I think that there's some mileage there.
Yeah, they need John Silver is what it is. When he was, you know, gone for an injury for a week or whatever, then the seams started to show right away. And you're like, oh, what are we doing with the Dark Order now? Because he was obviously, you know, the standout guy following Brody Lee passing. So yeah, they gotta reorient this thing and figure out how they're gonna make it work with John Silver injured for the time being.
Alex Marvez was then with the Inner Circle and Mike Tyson. Chris Jericho says Mike Tyson is no longer their rival because they decided to change their ways after the Pinnacle beatdown. He called some people he owed an apology to, and the first of those was Mike Tyson, but he doesn't want any special favors in the match. Tyson says he's going to be firm but fair. He's not taking sides and tells Jericho if he messes up, he could get knocked out again. I thought Tyson, pretty excellent promo on this show.
They had him speak at the end of a long promo that Jericho did, and it's very easy for Tyson to fuck something up and you have to reshoot the whole damn thing. Like, this will happen on BTE where they have three moving parts in a scene and you'll see that there's an awkward cut at the end because it's like, oh, somebody fucked up after we got so much good footage. So I was impressed with Tyson in that regard.
I thought this was pretty effective. Like, that this was exactly what you would expect in a lead up here. And I think that the usage of Mike Tyson, even though everyone should be asking about where is Mickey Gooch Jr., I think was pretty effective tonight.
We do have to talk about, of course, Jericho bringing back his huge bit from last week where he calls the Pinnacle pineapple. Sweeping the nation.
Does this lead to Shug D coming back is my real question.
I did think about Shug D and was wondering, is he trying to recapture the magic of Pineapple Pete and thought that the central part of that bit was just the word pineapple? Is that what it is?
Right, yeah. Did anyone, like, when all the neurons are firing off in our brain, did anyone else have, like, the thing of, like, oh, yeah, Chris Jericho did have a, like, several-week storyline with Shug D when he only called Shug D Pineapple Pete that they just did? Like, that was a thing that happened last year. Like,
that did happen. Shug D has not been back. It is like, hi, Young Bradley is here week after week after week. And they're like, oh, yeah, I think we've had our fill of Shug D.
Didn't
Shug D do like a shitty tweet about AEW though, or something? Am I remembering that incorrectly?
I don't remember that.
I remember it vaguely. It wasn't as, much of a burial as another recently departed roster member, or not a roster member, or per date person, but it was not as complimentary as one expected. And, you know, I saw some Shug D stuff over the last weekend. I mean, Shug D, I should come back in. Like, he did commentary for the Culture with Purse Davis and was excellent. Like, this is a guy that, I mean, you can find a place for Shug D.
Yeah, I mean, commentary might be the place. I'm not. Yeah. Anyway,
moving right along, Red Velvet versus Jade Cargill. Jade won with jaded. Jade.
You do this each time. You do this each time.
I brought it up when Excalibur called the move. I was so disappointed he didn't say it. And I had created an expectation in my head that he was going to do that.
Have I said that before on the show?
Yes.
Have I done that?
Yes.
No, I brought it up when she first did the move, and right. Like, I think I definitely remember talking about the Aerosmith album Just
right.
Push Play.
Because we are a music podcast. I mean, coming yeah. in terms of
right, that album, sneaky good. Jada's a good song, and so it's Just Push Play.
I guess I will be doing Jaded from here on out.
I made Aaron. I'll call a spade a spade here. Part of my job here is this.
I'm gonna call it Jada Jade.
well, I mean, here's the thing: here, you're going to completely forget that this is a bit within like 2 weeks, and the next time that Jade pops up, you're gonna forget that her finisher's name is Jaded. I'm gonna put it in the show notes, and then you're gonna be doing this clip. Like, this is exactly how it's gonna happen.
That's what happened this week, where I wrote in the notes Jade Wood with whatever her move is called, and Mike thankfully went back in and wrote Jaded. So,
It jumped out of me immediately when Excalibur called the move, and I was like, oh, why didn't he go Jaded? I think that'd get over. That would be huge. It's better than he did the deal, right?
When I was like 5 or whatever, I thought Janie's Got a Gun was like the sickest shit that had ever been invented. It just blew my mind. Like the video, the song, I was like, this is fucking next level storytelling.
Aerosmith, one of the coolest, lamest bands of all time.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Extremely not cool, but like, I mean, Jaded's fucking hit. What are you gonna do?
They did have a song called Eat the Rich.
They did have a great arcade game.
Loving an elevator. So they had a better roller coaster.
Yeah, the great roller coaster.
But the roller coaster replaced the Back to the Future ride.
It's okay with me. I love the Aerosmith ride.
I can't abide. I can't abide. Back to the Future ride was the best ride in Universal.
No, Aerosmith is a Disney. It's an MGM.
Yeah, Aerosmith's a Disney ride.
It did replace something.
It didn't. Was it the one that... No, because Guardians of the Galaxy replaced the Tower of Doom.
Tower of Terror, yeah.
Tower of
Terror still exists.
No.
No, only in Tokyo, baby.
Only in Tokyo, yeah. They're all Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't know when this happened, but I just wrote this in Florida not too long ago.
They have replaced it within the last like 18 months, so probably
that post dates my last visit to Disney, but not to Tokyo.
Also has the Indiana Jones ride, which does not exist at any U.S. Disneys.
Yeah, because at the state show, don't they? And
it
and
might
MGM.
Even be like a Universal thing now or something. I don't know. Anyway, the new hotness is Nintendo World, regardless.
Oh yeah, we gotta go. All right, this match was good, and it was like way better than I anticipated. I do think that Jade Cargill should just squash anyone she steps in the ring with, but the match was still good.
Yeah, it was good for like the big follow-up to this feud that they've been building for a long time and had like Shaq and Cody involved. It just, you know, it didn't feel that important on the scale of this individual show, which kind of, you know, brings it down,
yeah.
I think. But it was, you know, kind of executed well enough.
Yeah, no, this was a match that really could have gone badly. Like if you really think about it, like they're lucky that this match, one, was taped, and then two, like, all things considered, but, you know, both Jade and Red Velvet were awesome. Red Velvet's taupe that she did was sick as hell, and then immediately, like, throwing, like, if you give me the time sheet, if I have the stopwatch, you're gonna have everything, like, through her getting thrown into the crowd, and then immediately she rolls back in the ring, like, she tries to do one thing and immediately gets jaded. But it was, the rest of the match was great. But
I'm sorry, she gets what?
She gets jaded.
I'm not hearing you correctly, Mike.
Jaded.
Do it like you're firing up the take copter.
Jaded.
Yeah, there it is. We got it.
Oh, man. All right. Britt and Rebel are with Tony. Britt's talking rankings. She's got a printout of the rankings, baby. And
it was mounted. It was a mounted thing behind.
Mounted.
It was
for every.
No. It was mounted on a grate with neon lights behind it. Like, there was some care being put into the stage direction for the rankings.
Yes. She's in third, but she notes that Red Velvet had just lost. So Red Velvet will be 5-1 and Brit will be 7-1. Although all the nerds tell me that you have to take into account the quality of wins. So Brit may be out to lunch here. But Brit says, you know, she's working her way up, so she's going to wrestle on Elevation.
Yeah, another winning Brit segment. You know, she's always like very poised and fully inhabiting her character in these. She had like a more funny comic timing in this one than even a lot of her other recent segments. This was just like not Sheeta. That was very funny to me. Yeah, we love Brit.
Anthony Ogogo versus Cole Carter with the liver punch, as Mike said earlier. Am I losing my mind? Did anyone else hear JR call Cole Carter Colt Cabana?
I think that's you, Big Cat.
I'm pretty sure it happened. Oatgand, rewind the tape.
Didn't notice it.
All right, Miro had a pre-tape. He says he hasn't talked to Kip since Arcade Anarchy, and he's moving on with or without him in his quest for the title.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm a little rueful about the podcaster geeks and bullies making them move away from this Miro and Kip team because everybody decided that Miro was too much of a geeky gamer nerd or whatever, and now this is what's happening. I think it would have been great if Miro just carried his friend Kip all the way to the top of AEW while still being a big gamer nerd, but also destroying people. I think that would have been fine. But you know, the podcasters who don't know sports, they were out there saying that Kip can't like, or Miro can't like Kip because they both like video games.
Chris Jericho versus Dax Harwood was up next. This was with Mike Tyson as the special enforcer, and Jericho won with a Judas effect. After the match, Jericho said Tyson is an, I forget how he pronounced it. He meant to say ancillary member of the inner circle. But he pulled a real EE as he said.
Might have been ancillary.
Funny.
Ancillary, is that what he said?
I can't
ancillary,
remember.
Ancillary, yeah.
It was wrong, but it was funny.
I mean, he could have gone. I think he was thinking auxiliary, and then he thought like ancillary. I mean, as someone who mangles words all the time, that's my guess.
Auxiliary is even harder. I hope this just ends up. All I care about this is that somebody puts it on the Wikipedia and has a specific ancillary member section for Mike Tyson. That's what's important here.
Absolutely. Don Callis and friends were with Alex Marvez, but they kick him out. Callis says the Bucks coming back wasn't the end of the story. It was the start. Kenny, as Nate was referencing, said they're not going to be like the numbnuts podcasters and fans want us to be. We're going to be what we want. Matt says Young Bucks are the best, of course. And Don Callis super kicks the cameraman.
Yeah, something very wrong. I don't know. Kenny's doing this thing now where he's like, oh, yeah, I'm good at real sports, too. Because he used to play hockey or whatever. But he also said interwebs in this promo, which just betrays that whole shit. So, yeah, I don't know.
After those photos, you know, the photos with the eyebrows, I think a lot of stuff with Kenny, like, I think that, you know, like, now he's seeing himself at, like, as a model, and he can do anything. He's getting real Mr. Perfect vibes, in a way.
Yeah, I mean, it works for his act. I just, no greater heel act to me than saying the word interwebs. Don Callis really enhances this. Even the flat angle last week and the melodrama and the stupidness, like, you know, it's kind of fine now because Don Callis and being on the same page with all these guys is great. I just pop for the Good Brothers every time. They said danglies. You know, I think I'll always have a place in my heart for Carl Anderson being like the hype guy in a heel promo.
I thought they were referencing the earring with the dangly.
You know, that was my second thought. My first thought was he was talking about testicles.
Because Nick added
Nick has the additional earring now, and Matt was doing the earring. But then I didn't see an earring on anybody else. But that does, I can definitely see, you know, the guys pounding around backstage and Doc Gallows going over to Nick and pawing at his ear and being like, oh, you got a little dangly there. So that totally fits too.
And let's be fair, the only person in that group that I do not think has a pierced ear is probably Kenny Omega. Like, for sure, Doc Gallows has rocked himself like some earrings, and same with Don Callis and Carl. But, you know, I think all of them should just get dangly earrings. So I think we should go with the danglies now.
Well, you know, Luke Gallows did replace Prince Albert in New Japan, so I'm going to guess he also has a Prince Albert in his pants. Does that work?
There's no one in wrestling I'd be less surprised that to have a dick piercing than Doc Gallows.
Very likely, I think.
Mike said dick on the show.
I thought I said fuck earlier, too.
But you certainly have now. Thunder Rosa hype vignette. She wants the AEW and NWA titles. I had missed that if you win the NWA title, you get your little picture right in the middle of the belt. Pretty cute. Chris Statlander versus Amber Nova. And Chris wins with the Supernova. I think that's the whole reason they booked Amber Nova was for that play on Chris's finish.
I thought the same thing.
Well, they used to call it the Big Bang. It used to be, and then the Big Bang Theory. So, like, they've renamed it. Amber Nova, that was a choice. I thought that, you know, Danny Jordan, you could have called up there. I mean, any of the students there. But I thought Chris looked great in her return. I'll say that.
Yeah, commentary, you know, did a lot of putting over that she looks leaner and meaner. And yeah, it, you know, you got that effect from watching the match.
Team Taz with Dasha. We talked about this. Everybody knows what happened. This all happened. The whole cage thing.
Hard, you know, we did talk about it. I don't know that the necessarily means the listeners know what happened. Because a lot of times when I talk about stuff, I'm just kind of, I talk around it and then explain why I hated it or whatever.
I just assume people watch the show before they listen to the show, which then doesn't make sense why we run down the whole show. So I don't know.
I don't know. There are a fair amount of podcasts I listen to where I don't watch whatever they're talking about.
Sure. That's fair.
It's really just a, can I tolerate these people talking?
All right. Well, I can run it down. Team Taz is with Dasha.
Oh, no, I don't want you to.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll move on.
I just want to acknowledge people out there that are saying, I don't know what happened. You didn't say what happened.
Okay.
So I acknowledge you. You're valid. We're not going to explain it.
All right. Tweet at Epitasis if you're mad about this.
Only if you have takes on the Dota anime.
We got a hype video for Hikaru Shida versus Ty Conti for the women's title next week.
I like Shida. It says that she has a dream or a goal of being the champion at a big sold out show. I think that's a great story to tell of her. Now she wants to defend this through the rest of the pandemic because she wants to get back to full crowds and, you know, finally getting her roses and being the champion and, you know, a sold out Sears Center or whatever. So now there's like some stakes, I think, to this title defense where it's not just like, is she going to have the belt? Is she not? It's like, yeah. No, I believe that Hikaru Shida, you know, kind of is disappointed that she's been the champion and she's never had a real big AEW crowd like they used to have.
Yeah. I think that the Thai side of this video was strong as well. Like, this is something that, and then also, I bet we're going to get some commentary from Britt Baker that, you know, someone's going to lose this match. And that probably should mean that Britt Baker has more recent wins. And they talked about the fact, and when we break down the Starks and Page match, like, they brought the fact of recency, like that Ricky Starks hasn't lost a singles match in, like, 10 matches, and Page is on this win streak as well. So, like, we're going to get some real stat head hours going on Dynamite in future weeks.
Definitely feels like we're building to like the first big show with fans, like the first pay-per-view with fans is Shida versus Britt, where Britt wins finally.
I hope so. I mean, that'll be a little bit a sour note if that's the story they're telling with Shida. They're like, oh yeah, I want to be the champion with a whole big arena, and then she loses it. But that kind of feels like where we should go, and that kind of feels like the big crowning moment for Britt as well. So yeah, I think that would be perfect for Double or Nothing.
Well, it feels like they're gonna have
All Out.
Well,
I mean,
All Out, right? I was gonna say it feels like they're gonna have some TV shows in arenas before All Out. So yeah, maybe Shida will get both.
Get a defense, yeah, to TV first.
Yeah, and then the TNT title match: Darby Allin versus Matt Hardy. A lot of people involved: Private Party, Dark Order, Sting, Lance Archer, even Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page walked out at one point, but Darby won with the coffin drop.
Left out the Butcher and the Blade and the Bunny, man. Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Come on.
My favorite thing about the thing, I think Raw was the first one to point it out, but it might have been Mike. The whiteboard.
Yeah, I think that was
Sammy G vlog.
Yeah, Sammy G vlog had that.
Yeah. So what I loved about it was, you know, so they had this thing where it's like, here's the shit that you might do in a match, and everybody like write down if you're going to do it in the match so that we can make sure we're not doing too much stuff, which of course we have all complained about. But it looked like only Ty Conti and Allie had put in their spot. So it's like no one else was respecting the whiteboard. Mm. Okay. Thanks. Glad that went over well.
I mean, as a whiteboard respecter, I understand, you know. I mean, even though I have not updated my mental health meter, you know, in a while.
I almost called you out on it. I was almost going to say it seems a little static.
Let's say that, like, there's too many, like, ebbs and flows of my recent life to really have, like, a pinpoint here. Whereas, like, yesterday, I was probably at a meh. Now I'm at about a 6. So, you know, there you go.
All right, well, I don't know. We have a Patreon. Patreon.com/everythingelite.
This is the most off-the-rails episode we've ever had.
I almost did a really fucking bad thing there, so I just decided to not do it. So we have a Patreon. You know, we do this show for free every week, so it'd be nice if you supported us by going to patreon.com/everythingelite and subscribing. We have 3 tiers. $5 tier gets you all the audio we do. The $8 tier is good because you get the live show. We do this show live on Wednesday nights right after Dynamite. We also do lots of fucking content over there. So this week we had Mike and Drew reviewing WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, so part of the reason why I feel so delirious is my dear brother and I, Drew, he is, I think probably if we ranked like most appearances, we've really milked my familial relations, by the way. But it was an absolute blast because both of us watched a lot of the ancillary WrestleMania. Now I'm saying ancillary now. God damn it, Chris Jericho. But we watched all the WrestleMania weekend shows and we talked about it. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happened in Tampa last weekend. Let the Spears boys read you, just kind of like lead you through it, because there's a lot of stuff that happening. Everything was happening. And it was a blast to do. And we're already looking ahead to like the next shows we may or may not cover. We might be getting scenic. I'll do that as a tease. We might be getting scenic the next time.
Honestly, one of my favorite things to do with the Patreon is just like find a reason to give my friends money to come on the show and talk to them. So it's always fun. Next week, speaking of, Murder Brian returns. And that's not just getting our friend on the show, because everybody loves Murder Brian when he's appears on the Patreon. So Mixtape Club with Murder Brian, we're talking about Christian metalcore. I can't remember if I did the whole tease last week. I think I did, but it's really funny. It's very good. And that's obviously all because of Brian, who is hilarious. And then we got some other stuff cooking. Nate, do you want to tease yours, or do you want to wait?
No, I think I'll wait. Okay. I'm a little gun shy, because I think you teased the Murder Brian episode for like 2 months. So
yeah, well,
yeah, we do deliver.
We do. It just takes a while sometimes. Make sure you join the Discord. I've fired up the little bot that now says hello to you when you join the Discord. So I'm very, very pleased about that.
That's a big step forward for us, because I still don't really have the bot working to post all the things from Patreon yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I accidentally...
When you get your little welcome message, I'll put a little emoji on there of a guy wearing waving glow sticks. It's very cute.
We have a lot of good emojis. So if you are a patron, we have a lot of stuff that we've picked out there that I have curated that are some good emojis that you could take into other Discords, by the way.
That's right.
Only if you have Nitro.
Only if you have Nitro. So, I mean, and then if you have Nitro, throw us a boost. So there we go.
I accidentally deleted like the welcome page you get in most Discords.
We aren't good at this. We're in our mid-30s, okay?
No, I didn't know anything about Discord until we started this. So, but it's patreon.com/everythingelite. It's a thing. You're going to want to join. Come join us. Next week on Dynamite, we've got the women's title match, Hikaru Shida versus Ty Conti. We've got Powerhouse Hobbs versus Christian Cage. I almost said we have Billy Starks. We have Ricky Starks versus Adam Page. And we have Trent versus Pentagon.
Pretty good card.
With Alex Abrahantes with Pentagon. Worth pointing out there. Yeah. I don't think Yeah, you're not a big fan of Alex from QVC.
Did you guys see his pants on BTE?
No, I wasn't paying attention to his pants.
He had fucking insane pants.
Did he look insane though? Was it
his pants did.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
That's like I hear, you know, in various DMs, I hear things about BTE from Nate, of course. I hear audio about BTE, but that's maybe the best sell I've ever gotten to actually get me to watch it, which is just that Alex Abrahantes has insane pants.
Alex Abrahantes has been grinding on BTE, trying to get something over it for a long time, which I respect to a degree. But at some point, it does become a little bit desperate, I think. But the pants are probably the most notable thing he's done.
Okay. I'm going to have to go. I did not notice this. I do not rewatch BTE. So I hope when they taped the segments that they did at the tapings that he did not do a costume change so I could see the pants in the next episode of BTE.
All right. Well, that's what's going to be on the show next week. That's what we'll be talking about. I thought I had one more album I wanted to bury, but now I can't remember what it was. Just to see if here's Tool? The take. No. What? No, I don't think there's any Tool on this list, but
Lateralist has got to be on
Lateralist is on there,
maybe,
man.
Maybe in the
come
400s,
on.
But
here's my take. Well, first of all, I don't think I'll get any pushback on this, although Nate's already lathering up for what his pushback will be.
Nate has taken the keys from the take copter. He's ready to go on this.
But they include greatest hits and like compilation albums, which I think is bullshit.
Are they remasters at least? Like, or is it something like this? Mm. Or is it someone who might have had such like low distribution when they originally put out those LPs? Like, I can see the justification there.
There is Madonna, the Immaculate Collection is on the list.
That's
just funny. Like all her fucking best songs. But here's my hot take.
Okay.
A live album is not an album. A live album should not be on the list.
Okay, so that's just wrong.
Yeah, buddy.
That is right.
There's a certain, I don't know what the line is, but there is a line where either a greatest hits and or a live album becomes like a thing unto itself.
Right.
I don't have a great example. I guess maybe like Eagles' greatest hits, because that's like the best-selling album of all time. When you reach that level, I think you kind of considered its own thing, so you can kind of put that on the list. Plus, then you can omit every other Eagles album, which is good to do. For a live album, I don't know, like Cheap Trick is like best known for a live album,
right? Yeah, live at Budokan. And you also get other bands, like I have, and this is gonna sound really really nerdy, I have a bootleg pressing of a Led Zeppelin concert they had at the Fillmore West from 1969 that, you know, it's a completely different thing. So
but that
like,
doesn't count. That's not an album. A bootleg pressing is for sure not an album.
Let me tell you about a bootleg pressing I have on vinyl. It's the New Japan Fan Rap, folks.
We're done. Nothing's going to beat that. We're out of here.
You guys were totally blank on that.
I forget. It's true. Hook. You do have it, and I forgot that you did. What a reminder. What a beautiful reminder.
Hook, line, sinker.
Not only do I have the New Japan Fan Rap on vinyl, I have the New Japan Fan Rap chopped and screwed on the other side of the vinyl.
And yet you won't take a video to prove its existence, and I don't know why. You're hiding something about your turntable.
No. Here's the tea on that. I'm awaiting a new turntable, and I want to debut it
in
the video.
I knew you were hiding something about your turntable. I knew
I just want to debut my new one. That's all. I just want to show off my new turntable.
Is it going to be obnoxious hipstery turntable? Is that what it is?
No, it's cool, I think.
Okay, we'll see. I'll let you know if it's cool.
I'm sure you will. I'll tell you, it's a U-Turn is the brand. The U-Turn Orbit turntable.
Okay, yeah, the name gives me pause.
Sounds
fake. A turntable doesn't need a name.
Sounds fake.
I mean,
a turntable should say like Sony or Panasonic, and then it should
Audio
have some
Technica
letters and numbers.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, it should have a normal last name.
This is a orbit. It goes around.
That's a hard name.
Try hard name for a turntable.
Fake ass good. Instagram turntable.
Whoa. No, Steph. Not on Instagram. I reached out to some fucking hip, hipsters to get
I bet
some,
you did. I bet you did. You pulled up your phone and you saw an Instagram and you went to SP. It's like, doesn't that look cute right here? It's the Orbit instead of an actual decent one there.
Or
at least get like a Crosley. At least get a fucking Crosley, right, dude. If
never
you're going to
be
cutesy about it.
I'm not fucking posting the video. I'm not posting shit. You all can eat shit and die slow. How about that? Fuck you. All right.
You just like fastball over the plate, man. That was just easy.
It would just end the show after you say fuck you. Just stop. Just please edit it out there and have that be the end of the show.
I already started the show by saying I was done with podcasting, but now it's real.
No, yeah, you said you're going to quit. I think we should actually have the show and we need to tell us to fuck off.
And we just don't show back up next week. It's just over.
Yeah, you're just not going to acknowledge that this ever happened. We're just like, here's episode 120. Bye.
All right, we're on Twitter at EverythingAEW. I'm at Aaron Like the Car. Nate's at Epitasis. Mike's at Fuji. Hey, subscribe to the podcast. Give us a 5-star rating and review. Support the show by using the promo code ELITE at mybookie.ag, using the promo code THISIS at manscaped.com, and subscribing to our Patreon at patreon.com/everythingelite. For Mike, for Nate, this is the fucking end. See you next week.